This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined us today. Do me a favor. Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And as we start this great day, it's going to be a phenomenal conversation, and I want to make sure that you know how grateful we are for each and every one of you. When we started today, yesterday, I shared with you that, you know, part of our mission here at Equip is that we want to have a dual testimony, a testimony of both spiritual impact and good financial stewardship. And in order for both of those to happen, we need you to join us both prayerfully and financially. And you guys have done such an awesome job of that, not only through the years, but in particular this week. We started this week about $1,500 away from our goal, our budgeted goal for the month. And I say, hey, if we can get 15 friends who could stand with us with their best gift, a gift of $100 or more, we could knock that out. And the good news is that we are just a little bit over $600 away from our budgeted goal. And so I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to James from Idaho. Thanks to Hector from Illinois. Andre from Illinois as well. Daisy from Florida, first-time supporter. Peter from Idaho as well. Idaho is in the house. Joel from Ohio. Richard from Illinois. It's such a blessing to see friends from all over the country. Christopher from Washington checked in as well. Hey, I'm super grateful for each and every one of you that listen every day. What a compliment that is. What a trust that you have given to us. And we want to make sure that, again, we're faithful to that by bringing on guests and talking about topics that really are equipping you to more effectively live, share, and defend your faith. But I also want to say thank you to those who maybe listen, that have a heart to give, but maybe you haven't been able to. And I recognize that there are certain seasons in life where our desire for generosity is maybe greater than our ability, and I praise God for that. I would sincerely ask that you would pray in those moments for me, for our team. We got an incredible team, small but mighty team here, and we really are reaching across North America, and I'm grateful for that, for every market that we're in. But I would ask that you would keep us in your prayers for our family, for us to just sense God's leading in this program. Now, with the remaining $600, I think we're down to about six friends that if you respond today, maybe the testimony of today is that we not only had a great conversation with an awesome guest to talk about things that matter most, but we also were able to have a testimony of good financial and fiscal stewardship. And so if today you really believe that this program is a blessing and you believe in our mission to declare the lordship of Jesus, the wisdom of Scripture to a generation that's looking for answers, I would ask that you would consider standing with us. The phone number, 888-644-4144. Can you be one of six who calls right now, say, I'll give that $100 gift, or maybe God has placed it in your heart to say, hey, I'll knock all of that out because I can, and I want to be a blessing, and I want to help more people to hear the good news of God's grace. 888-644-4144, or if it's easier, and I think it is, to just go to the website, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Now, some of you may know that in addition to the radio program here, I'm also a pastor of a multi-site church in Michigan. And, man, I love our spiritual family here at Woodside Bible Church. I bring up my church, and I don't often do that, but I bring up our church today because I took over a church that was started by someone else who was an incredible leader. His name's Doug Schmidt. You may not know him, but what a godly man, great leader, who started this movement that really has impacted the region that I get a chance to live in. And I remember sitting across from him and his wife, me and my wife, at dinner, and him sharing his heart as he was getting ready to transition out of his leadership role to do some launching of a new ministry to mentor pastors. And I remember him saying, we really want someone who can come on board, do things that I couldn't do, and continue to lead with integrity the church into its future. And so here I am leading something that someone else had built. I inherited a team. I inherited the history of this wonderful ministry and all of its successes, as well as any struggles that may be there. And as I navigated through this, someone gave me a book, and it was simply entitled Leading Things You Didn't Start. And it was such a great gift to me. And I read it, and I want to share it with you today, because I really believe there's a lot of you that are out there who maybe you've inherited people or places or possibilities, and you really do want to lead well, and you're asking a lot of questions that are typical questions that come along with inheriting something you didn't start. Questions like, where do I start? Who can I trust? How long before I can make changes? If that's you, today is your program. If that's someone you know, I would encourage you to listen so you can share the wisdom you're going to gain from our conversation today with the author of that book. Tyler Regan has written this book. He's the founder and CEO of The Life-Giving Company. I love that title. He's the co-founder of 1010 Project, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to serving pastors, and is the former president of Catalyst. Now, Catalyst was a leadership development organization that launched and platformed many of the leaders that you know and love nationally. Tyler joins us today. Tyler, how are you, brother?
Good, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Man, I feel like this is the first we've gotten a chance to talk. And me, I feel like you've been one of my mentors for the last couple of years, bro. So I just want to say thanks. Even though
Absolutely.
It's been through your books, through your interviews, through some of the talks that you've given. But I want to say thanks and give you the opportunity to just kind of share what was, to use that term, catalyst, what was your motivation, catalyst, for writing this book?
Yeah, and Chris, I never take for granted when one person picks up and reads something you did. You know, it's like you paint something and you hand it to people going, what do you think? Like, I never take that for granted. So
That's
thanks
right.
for even taking a minute and reading it. It still surprises me, you know, as someone who never thought I'd do anything like this. It's kind of overwhelming at times. But yeah, I think you and I were probably in the similar boat where I had come over to be a part of the Catalyst team. And I'd been working with them for a few years as a contractor. And then I came over, I was a creative director for a while. And then Brad Lominick, who had, my predecessor, was going to roll and do something else. And they'd asked if I would step in. And I remember leaving on a Friday as the creative director, coming back on a Monday to the same exact people, minus one. And I was now in charge. And I just remember thinking, what am I going to do? Where do I pull from? Like, who can help me through this? And they're, you know, there's a few resources out there on transition, a few on like the first 90 days, but I didn't have a lot of faith books on where does our faith play into this. And so I just decided, after experiencing that for a few years, what would it look like to try to put a little bit of a resource together? Because, you know, in the same way you probably felt, I was being handed some significant influence, like significant. When the guy that you're, you know, one of the legacies of who started it is a guy named John Maxwell. A few people might have heard of him. You're like, that's significant, right? Like, you're holding something that's very valuable. And I just remember thinking, God, I really want to steward this well. But of course, it also highlights every fear that you can imagine, every insecurity, every excitement that you might have. Man, it was on full display during that time. So yeah, that's where it came from. Just, what does it look like to step in? And I made this number up, and you mentioned this in the beginning, but I made up the number that I think only about 10% of the people I know start something, but probably 90% of us step into an existing job, a role, a label, you know, a team. And I think this is way more the norm than it is starting something from scratch. And so that's really a lot of the driving force behind what does it look like to try to do this well?
Names like John Maxwell, Andy Stanley, Craig Rochelle, Christine Kane. I'd go on and on, names that are household names. And the Catalyst platform really helped to launch so many ministries out there on a national scale. And here you are now in a leadership role, having to steward that. You've learned a lot over the years about success in transitions, what we do right, what we do wrong. If you had to name one thing on why they often go so bad, what would it be? Because I've been a part of three. I've stepped into two organizations that were started by others that I've had to steward and help to shepherd and try to grow to its next season and phase. I've also had to hand off something to someone else. And I would say two out of three went well. So I've been a part of good and bad.
Yeah.
I got the wounds to show it. But if you had to name one thing that you say, man, this is one thing that we often do that blows it, what would you say?
You know, I would actually say maybe the thing I think that makes it work. And I'm going to just flip it a little bit because most of the time people come in wanting to, and this really is answering both, but most of the time when people come in, they want to show their competency, right? Like, I am up for this. Right. I can do this. Look at me. And they're not doing it arrogantly necessarily, but it's like competency is the thing I want everybody to trust. And at the same time, we went through the whole hiring process to determine your competency on that. And so I give the example of one of the executive assistants here at the church I'm in Orlando. She just came on. She's a younger leader and her competency has never been in quite, like, she is way competent. Here's the difference. She has come in displaying the fruit of the Spirit in a way that I haven't seen in a long time. So if you couple her competency, which is there, which we determined in the interviews, which we determined as we hired her, with, she doesn't have to prove that anymore, although she's got to show up and do the job or everything. She's coupled that with kindness. She's coupled that with self-control. She's coupled it with gentleness of asking the right questions, of care as she's walked through. Like, I'm telling, and that's a big part of what I believe is as you step into something to start, if you can display the fruit, you know, Matthew 7 says, that the tree is known by its fruit, good and bad. I don't care how competent you are if you don't come in the right way. You know, you can approach something wrong and you're not right anymore. And so
that's
the heartbeat of this, in my opinion. I think where people have failed is they haven't come in with the right posture, the right care, the right character. They've just assumed it and put, assumed and put their laurels on competency. And I'm going, man, you got hired for that. You still got to show it every day. You got to show up every day and show you can do the job. But if you can carry yourself in a unique way, you will absolutely find success early on.
You know, I love that you just said that. I get called, in particular from pastors and leaders that know a little bit about the transitions that I've been able to be a part of. I'm sure you get these calls often as well, that, hey, we're going through a transition. Similarly, we love to pick your brain. I'm going to be taking one of those calls later on today. And one of the things that I've learned to say is that I'm sure you're going to be assessing competency. I'm sure you're going to be assessing giftedness. I'm just going to recommend that you place a lot of your decision on value alignment, that this person shares the values that have come to shape and form the ethos of your ministry, your organization, because I do think that accomplishments can be inflated, exaggerated. I think that those things can be faked. Resumes can be, again, exaggerated or inflated. I think that when you really take the time to probe somebody for their values, what is it that really shapes your heartbeat? What is it that you're known, that you're most passionate about, their character? And in particular, if you're checking with others around them, man, that to me seems to, if that's right, if the value alignment is right, it really feels like it can build towards sustainability. Let's take a break. But here's what I want to do. Two things. I got some thank yous I got to give on the other side of this break because you guys are amazing. And I want to say some thank yous, but I also want to open up this conversation. It is a huge blessing to have Tyler here. The journey that he has walked, man, and the wisdom that he's gained, he's put into the book. I want you to get the book, Leading Things You Didn't Start. Go to our website, equipradio.org. But I also want you to join the conversation if you're leading something you didn't start. In particular, if you're asking, when can I start sharing vision? 877-LIVE-675. We'll be right back right after this. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. So grateful to have Tyler Regan with me today, leading things you didn't start. I want to encourage you to call 877-548-3675, especially if you are in the leadership position of something you inherited. You didn't start it, and that's okay, because most of us are leading something we didn't start. But you want to do it well to the glory of God. I want you to join the conversation, 877-548-3675. I love endorsement pages. I love these dedication pages where an author says, hey, I want to dedicate this book to, you insert the name, because this person has had a profound impact on my life. I read your dedication page, Tyler. And here's the second paragraph, and I love this. It says, and here's to my 420 SAT score in English. I'm thankful I didn't let that score keep me from writing and creating leadership content. Don't let things you don't like define you either. Man, that is epic. I love it. Talk to me about that, about overcoming those types of moments.
Yeah, I don't know if it's epic, good or bad, but it's, you know, definitely epic in some way. You know, it's one of those things, Chris, and God even reminded me of an assessment I took years ago about entrepreneurship that I failed. A church had me take it. And, you know, because of that assessment, they were like, we don't know if you're the right fit for this kind of role, as a, you know, whatever. And then about 2 years ago, after starting my own company for the last 6 years, starting a nonprofit to serve pastors, like I've started like three things now, which is funny because I started all these after writing Leading Things You Didn't Start, right? And I remember God just reminded me of, like, if I would have let that assessment dictate my obedience or my faithfulness or even my identity, man, I would have missed out on some stuff. And so it was lighthearted. It was tongue in cheek, the 420, because I still laugh. I've written two leadership books now, which is just, when I say a miracle, that doesn't even like scratch the surface, because it wasn't my upbringing, my pedigree, all the things, none of them lined up like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I even for the first couple of years of leading Catalyst, people would introduce me to speak and things. And I would actually kind of almost self-deprecate and make fun of the fact that God had put me in this position. Yeah. Until I had some close friends go, hey, quit doing that. You're dishonoring God's call in your life. And I took that to heart and realized they're right. Like God does amazing things, but I've been showing up, you know, I've been faithful, and I keep doing what I think God's called me to do. And that steadfastness, it's a fruit of the Spirit as well. It's part of this thing, you know? And so I'm just grateful that God has allowed me through me keep showing, but myself keep showing up, that God would open doors like writing two leadership books. It blows my mind. It really does. And so that's why I put that in there, is because I could have easily been like, well, that's not for me, right?
Yeah, well, I love that you did. And I'm grateful that you didn't allow that to stop you. When I read it, I thought about the teachers who, and I feel for them now, but I was that ADHD kid who kept talking in class. And I remember I got good grades, but I remember getting that bad behavior because he won't stop talking. Well, they didn't know I was supposed to be a radio host. Tyler, somebody should have told him he's gonna be preaching and on the radio he has to talk. But no, I had to mature into that, and I'm glad those teachers were doing their job. But I'm glad my parents kept encouraging me. I'm glad the people around me kept reminding me of God's call and what it looks like redeemed in our lives. And so, man, and I'm just gonna say this: the fact that you wrote two books is not that impressive if they're not good. The fact that they have great content, the fact that they really are well written, is the testimony of it all. You know, we got a lot of people this day and age that are putting out stuff just to say they put it out, but you put out something that really has been massively helpful. Let me ask you a question, and I think a lot of people are wondering. When you step into a new role, how important is it to honor the past? Now, this is a twofold question. How important is it to honor the past? But secondarily, how do you honor the past without being stuck in it?
Yeah, it's that's the dance, right? I call it the dance of discernment. Like there's a line. It's the gray area. It's tricky because if you don't honor the past and the successes of the past, you're going to look like a fool, right? Because you're going to lose influence with the team you've just inherited, because they're going, hey, we did actually do some good things, right? As a matter of fact, I just stepped in to lead a team here at the church where I do think there was some elements that of the area that I'm leading with that weren't great, honestly. They needed improvement. But if that's all I focused on, I would lose influence with the team because they were a part of that. They were working on that. They were doing those things. So there's an honoring of the past that's required. Now, I want to be transparent. I think I honored too long when I inherited Catalyst. I think I went, I can remember specifically, Chris, it was 2 years almost to the day when I was standing on one of our stages and thinking, I finally feel like I don't have to honor the past anymore. 2 years.
Yeah.
And I had other people tell me I should have been done before. And it wasn't like I'm now going to start bashing. It was just, you don't have to do that anymore. Right.
So yeah, the first part is, I think there's, you don't have to preface everything you're saying and doing by the past. You can just talk as the leader.
That's right. Yeah. But the other big piece is what we celebrate and what we honor is going to indicate what we value. Where are we going? Like if I'm honoring things that I'm not going to move forward with or celebrate with in the future, that's probably not a helpful thing to the team that I just inherited. So how we do that and what that looks like, again, I can't give a specific answer for everybody because every situation is different, but you'll know it. If you're aligned with the team, if you're paying attention, if you have some vision that's welling up within you, then I make fun of waiting too long or going too long, but I would still rather err on the side of too long than too short personally. But, you know, I think that's where the dance of discernment comes in, going, okay, I've done it. And honestly, there's a reason we have people around us that we trust. And it's when they start speaking in going, hey, Chris, you're good, bro. Like you've done it. Like now let's go lead us. Like, you know, you've been leading us, you've been honoring. Now it's time. Don't get stuck anymore. It's time for you to lead. This is your thing.
877 live 675 is the number. I love what you just said, and the reason why, and let me just put it this way, I would much rather prefer being the type of leader that wrestles with that question than the one that does not wrestle with that question, because that gives me a lot of concern if you're persuaded that somehow you have to tear down the past in order to build yourself up, or ignore the past in order for you to look good. Let's flip to the other side of the coin. When is it, and how would you recommend a leader begin to share vision? How do you recommend they begin to step into that phase of setting a new course, new direction?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to cast vision for a future, a better tomorrow. I'm about halfway through a PhD right now in organizational leadership. Again, laughing at my, you know, 420 SAT score in English. but I never would have thought this is something I would do, right? But there's something specific about being able to project into the future. And the reason I brought up the PhD is I was reading this article for a different class, and it talked about how half of the population in the world cannot see themselves in a future. Like they can't project, self-project, if that makes sense. And yet we have these historical norms that when you're the leader of an organization, that's your job. You have to cast vision for a future that's better, all this kind of stuff. And I remember it was like this light bulb thing of going, wow, some leaders, they literally can't do it. They cannot get in their mind what they can't even paint the picture of what a better tomorrow looks like, right? So, but it's so clear to me that you have got to be able to do that and be able to cast a compelling vision. And I can tell more about that in a minute.
How do you win big when you inherit people, places, and possibilities? That's what Tyler Regan wants to help you to experience. Leading things you didn't start. I would encourage you and your team to pick up this book. Go to equipradio.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Tyler Regan is my guest today. Leading things you didn't start winning big when you inherit people, places, and possibilities. If you're transitioning into a new leadership role, responsibility, you have a stewardship, and you want to lead well, man, what a great book and resource this is for you. If you know somebody who's stepping into a new role, we want you to get this into their hands as well. But I do want to say thank you. Before we go back to Tyler, I want to say thank you. We started the day out sharing with you our budget goal and inviting you to consider partnering with us. And thanks to some generous friends, we have hit that goal. So thank you to Barbara in Ohio. Thank you to Sal in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you to Paula in Washington and Gabrielle in Orlando, Florida. You guys are awesome. And I just want to say how much I appreciate your investment and even more importantly, your listenership to the program, because it really does communicate a trust that you have for us to put Christ first, to have guests on who are going to add meaning to your life and who are going to help you to think deeply about your faith in Jesus. And how do we live that out? How do we live as his witnesses in a culture that is so rapidly changing? And so I want to say thank you for that. All of the giving and support that comes in from this point forward just continues to fuel the mission of this program. Maybe you want to consider becoming a monthly partner. Our average gift is someone who says, you know what, I'll give $1 a day, a $30 a month gift, and just invest in that for the spreading of the gospel. Maybe that's your heart, and you want to join with Barbara or Sal or Paula or Gabrielle. The phone number is 888-644-4144. And I always say this, please, if you're new to listening to Equip, feel no pressure at all to have to give. Your listening is gift enough. We really appreciate that. We just want you to be able to check us out and be blessed. But if you have been blessed, you've been listening for a while and you've been encouraged, something that's been said has ministered to your heart, something that we've prayed has encouraged and strengthened your walk in Jesus, or a guest or a resource has really made all the difference, then stand with us today, 888-644-4144. But again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so very much. And go to our website, find out more about Equipped at equipradio.org. Tyler, you were in the middle of talking about when is it right to share and cast vision and why that's so important. If you're a leader who stepped into a new leadership role, I want you to be able to wrap that up and conclude that story, because I want to ask you another tough question. So go ahead.
Sure. The reason I brought up the idea that some of us can't self-project a vision or a vision of a future is because you're not alone. Like, circle up with your executive team, sit around. If you don't have an executive team, put a trusted person or two around you and collaborate on where you're going. My old boss, Andy Stanley, said the greatest motivator of change is a crystal clear picture of what the future should look like. And just because you can't necessarily put all the pieces and description together, get some people around you that can see a better future, that can collaborate with what's in your heart, with what God's calling you to do. And it's mission critical for the future of the organization that you're able to cast a compelling vision to get people going, I'm pumped. Let's go. Where do I sign up?
I think sometimes vision happens where God calls you to the proverbial mountaintop and he gives you
Sure.
some stone tablets and you come down and say to the people, I've been with God, right? There's other times, though, where I feel like vision comes together as a process of discernment. You know, you exegeting, I'm going to use like a preaching term, but you just kind of excavating the hearts of the people and trying your best to discern what is God up to in this particular community? What is God up to with this particular group of people? I think the other thing that's true, and you've heard it said, I've heard it said, that often young leaders overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade, while experienced leaders will, you know, plan for who do we want to be 5 years from now, or who is God calling us to be 10 years from now, and not putting so much weight on the short term. All of these things come with experience. But again, I think your book helps us to develop a plan that's healthy in transition. You interviewed a number of leaders from different industries. I'm so grateful that we have a mutual friend, Cheryl Batchelder. I'm so glad you got her in the book from the business world. You obviously know people in the ministry world, athletics. You did a great job just pulling in all of these different variety of industries and leadership. What have you found as a common thread between industry and leadership on a successful transition?
Yeah, I think one is recognizing the weight you're carrying, right? Like, man, this matters. Like, what I do right now is going to impact the people I've inherited, this organization, this team, myself. Like, there's a weight to that, and I think that's a good thing. I want to feel the butterflies a little bit because it means I'm engaged. It means I'm paying attention. And I'd say the other thing that comes to mind with especially all four leaders that I interviewed for this. Is they were culture builders. Like, they were understanding that to get people on board with a new culture, you got to get to know them. You got to care for them. You've got to lay that foundation on the fact that they realize, even though there's some changes they might not like, they like you, that they're in with you, that you care for them, that you're their advocate. And it just takes time, and patience and being willing to get to know their family and know more about them. It's amazing the grace that you will have from people when, and Maxwell and many other people always said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much that you care. And Leadership 101 is how do I care for the people God's entrusted to me? And then we'll go somewhere together. And there is grace for you as a leader, especially in this situation, when they realize you care.
Marty from Indiana just gave us a call. I couldn't stay on the line, but he says this: I led a company which was doing well, but the board decided the company needed significant change very quickly. It was very hard to do that. How can I have handled that better? So what do you say to a leader who feels like they're getting pressure from their
Sure.
board to act more quickly?
Yeah, obviously there's a million different details that we don't know. I think there is, well, you know what, first thing that comes to mind truthfully is a book by Henry Cloud that says it's called Necessary Endings. And he talks about how everything has a season. And so there's a God element to this that goes, hey, maybe what they wanted, that was a way for you to have a new season and for them to have a new season. And so that was my first thought. My second thought is quite often when it's a delicate dance. And we've talked about this a little bit, but like when I've got a board who has a number, they have a statistic, they have metrics that they're looking at because they're not in the day-to-day. Quite often it's easy to make a non-emotional decision based on metrics. when you're not in the day-to-day of having to figure out how do I move these people? I can go get it on my own, but I got to take people with me. That is mission critical, in my opinion. And if you're bored and you don't align on that, then maybe that's a sign that it's time to adjust and, get on. I tell
Sure.
staff all the time, hey, I want you on the right seat on the bus, even if it's not my bus, right? And that's the heartbeat of going, we want you flourishing. And I wonder if he's flourishing more now because there's a board with unrealistic expectations potentially. Or the other side of the coin is sometimes we get stuck in a rut in our leadership. Just at the nonprofit that I started with a buddy, we've been we're 4 years into this thing. God's been doing amazing things, and we had about a month ago a leader look at us and go, "Hey, where's your faith in this area? Hey, why aren't you pushing here?" And it was like this catalytic level up, time to get it into gear again, moment for us. So sometimes I see it as a both and. Like sometimes I can get it into gear and adjust quicker, and we need people to tell us that if we trust them. But then sometimes you go, this is a bad chemistry fit here. This is not going to work. There's unrealistic expectations, whatever. So I kind of think about it in those two ways.
Yeah, I think that's great, and being able to discern which one it is for Marty is going to take more conversation across the table with a couple cups of coffee, probably. But Marty, I hope
Facts.
that answer was helpful, and you certainly would do well to pick up leading things you didn't start. Father, we pray for Marty that you would just bless and that you give wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I think about the book and I think about what journey God has had you on, as you look back on that moment, take us back to when you walked into that room now as the leader. What would you have coached yourself if you could talk to that person now, looking back, knowing what you know now? What would you have coached yourself to maybe have done a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think I made a couple business decisions that were premature. There was one or two that I went on feeling more than history, numbers, that sometimes, especially in the event business, it's how do we feel about that? What is that experience? And there was one or two decisions I made that I wish I would have paused on a little longer. In a lot of my leadership consulting and coaching, that's like the number one thing I get to say to leaders, in church, but also in just business, who go, "What do I do? How do I do that differently?" And the word that I throw out, I'm telling you, Chris, 10 out of 10 times is pause for a minute. Like instead of just responding, pause. Just breathe. Let's just see if there's not something that comes up different if we just give it a breath, keep on it for the night kind of things, right? And so I think that's one of the things I would encourage myself. I
That's
think,
so
and
good.
honestly, I'll tell you, I've searched my heart. I think some of those decisions were not me trying to make a name for myself. I really just was going off gut feeling and instinct because it served me well a lot of my career. But there are times that you need to kind of, if it's an uncharted territory, I got to find some experts, some people that actually understand maybe this version of business better or this understanding of sales and marketing better. And let's see if we can't get our heads around what is the right decision in here instead of just making it because, well, I'm the leader now and I can. So I
Well,
think there were a few things I probably would have paused on.
a couple of things that are implied in your response, and that is, man, get coaching, get others to have input. It's okay to ask for help, to
Absolutely.
walk for input from other leaders. That's not an insult to your strength of leadership. That actually is a compliment to your wisdom. I was instructed early on that wise leaders seek counsel, and I think that that is an underappreciated move to make. Ask for help. The other thing, going back to casting vision and the tension with a board that often comes up, I will just simply say this: if a new definition of success is not proposed to a board, they're going to continue to go on the old definition of success until something else is introduced to them. When I
Right.
stepped into my current role, we're a multi-campus church, 14 campuses, and success for a while was kind of measured with, did we launch a new campus this year? But the Lord brought me in for a different reason, and that was to strengthen the campuses that we have. Now, we
Yeah.
still look for opportunities to campus, But he brought me in to strengthen the ones that we have. And I had to make sure that the board knew that. I had to make sure that for us within our church, our elders knew that success was going to be defined by the flourishing of our campuses, not necessarily by did we launch a new one this year. So I would just simply say, make sure that you are sharing in this journey of how do we define success for this chapter of our journey. As you can tell, Tyler has so much wisdom in his book. I want to encourage you to go to equipradio.org, order your copy of Leading Things You Didn't Start. We'll be right back. Here on Equip, it's our goal to help listeners like you to understand and apply biblical truth to the issues we encounter in our culture, our community, and our home. But we need your help. Will you join our family of Equippers by making an ongoing monthly donation to Equip? When you do, you'll have exclusive access to regular encouragement from me, as well as our Equipper webinars and other special offers. Become an Equipper today. Call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Time flies when you're having a great conversation, such as the case today with Tyler Reagan. His book, Leading Things You Didn't Start, I think is necessary reading if you're in the midst of a transition and you are in particular the incoming leader, or maybe you're the outgoing leader and you can gift this book to the incoming leader. I would also say this is a great book for boards to read together so that they can have the right expectations on what the next season could be. It may not be the same as the previous, but it can still be glorious. I want to encourage you to go to our website, equipradio.org, click on today's program details. There you will see Tyler's book, and you can order a copy. All right, you conclude the book by setting up an opportunity for the leader to put together what you call an epic plan. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's just the four things that we talk about throughout, you know, the book. And it's basically 30 days of how do we evaluate? That's the E. What does it look like to be patient? Sometimes we don't, nobody wants to be patient, right? That's not our favorite thing anyway. But if we don't have a plan to be patient and wait appropriately, we probably won't be as patient as we need to be. Then we have to start turning the tides a little bit. What does the implementation look like? And at the end of the day, we've already talked about this, but it's all based on care. If you don't care for these people well, there will be no epic plan. There will be no good transition. It just will not go great. And so the epic plan is just a 30-day idea. It's basically giving you a chance to kind of workshop. How would I do this? You know, Dave Ramsey always says your money's going to go somewhere. Either you decide or it decides, right? And so same thing with leading things you didn't start. What does it look like to be super intentional with our ability to hand, take the reins of something and do it well? And I think my biggest encouragement again is to put it on the foundation of care and then really try to walk through these other three steps really well.
All right, let's talk about what God has you doing now. Can you talk a little bit about what Tyler's doing now and how that can benefit leaders?
Yeah, I've been for the last 6 years since I'm leaving Catalyst. I've been a full-time leadership coach and consultant. So I've got about 8 clients, half of those are churches, the other half are multimillion dollar businesses, just working with organizational leadership, what does health looks like in an organization? How do we make sure staff get developed well? And then part of our connection, Chris, is through one of your pastors who's been a part of our the nonprofit that we started called the 1010 Project. And, you know, I came out of a place of pain. I lost 3 pastor buddies to suicide in a 14-month window. And you and I both know, like, it's a really interesting role. It's a God-ordained role. It's called, but it's got some uniquenesses to it. And so we decided, what does it look like to try to keep our friends healthy? And so 1010 Project came out of that. And we take guys through a 12-month process that includes adventure and getting out, being in a group with the same kind of 5 or 6 other leaders for the year. But the real key is in the middle of the year, going through a 4 or 5 day counseling retreat as a group and learning about trauma and learning about our mental and emotional health. That's the thing that keeps me up at night. That's the thing that I feel like I do all the other things to be able to support and serve in. And I mean, even this week, God is just opening new, more and more doors. But at the same time, the public realities of losing a pastor or a faith leader. So the collateral damage is so significant that we can't get up to speed quick enough to serve our friends. So those are the things that keep me rocking and rolling. And I've got a wife of 23 years and two boys, 16 and 13. So that's the heartbeat behind why we do a lot of the things we do.
Let's pray for you, for Carrie, for the boys, and the responsibilities that God's placing in your care. Father, I thank you for Tyler. I thank you for the leader you have shaped him to become, for his heart, for your people, for his desire to be a blessing to others and to share what you have entrusted to him. Lord, we pray that your hand of blessing would be upon him, his marriage, his boys. We pray for your grace through this PhD program. And Lord, we pray that the 1010 Project would help to literally keep leaders alive and to help them not only live, but to thrive. And we pray, Lord, that the coaching and the books and the writing, Lord, will help your church to be more effective so that many may know the salvation, the grace, the love that you alone provide. And many come to a relationship with Jesus. We ask this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank
Tyler,
you,
what a
Chris.
great blessing to have you on, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for carving out time to be with us on Equip today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Friends, I want to encourage you. The name of the book, again, is Leading Things You Didn't Start. It's never too late for you to learn how to win when you inherit people, places, and possibilities. And maybe you can look and say, man, the first 30 days or 60 or 90 or first year was not great, but things can turn around. And if you're stepping into that transition now, what a great resource to step in with. I highly encourage you. Go to equipradio.org. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.